sure it was unbreakable. "Still want out?" he asked. Susan looked up. Somehow, sitting there in the dark with the great Trevor Strathmore, her fears were swept away. Rewriting Digital Fortress was a chance to make history, a chance to do incredible good, and Strathmore could use her help. Susan forced a reluctant smile. "What's our next move?" Strathmore beamed. He reached over and put a hand on her shoulder. "Thanks." He smiled and then got down to business. "We'll go downstairs together." He held up his Beretta. "You'll search Hale's terminal. I'll cover you." Susan bristled at the thought of going downstairs. "Can't we wait for David to call with Tenkato's copy?" Strathmore shook his head. "The sooner we make the switch, the better. We have no guarantees that David will even find the other copy. If by some fluke the ring falls into the wrong hands over there, I'd prefer we'd already made the algorithm switch. That way, whoever ends up with the key will download our version of the algorithm." Strathmore fingered his gun and stood. "We need to go for Hale's key." Susan fell silent. The commander had a point. They needed Hale's passkey, and they needed it now. When Susan stood, her legs were jittery. She wished she'd hit Hale harder. She eyed Strathmore's weapon and suddenly felt queasy. "You'd actually shoot Greg Hale?" "No," Strathmore frowned, striding to the door. "But let's hope he doesn't know that." Chapter 76. Outside the Seville airport terminal, a taxi sat idle, the meter running. The passenger in the wire-rimmed glasses gazed through the plate-glass windows of the well-lit terminal. He knew he'd arrived in time. He could see a blonde girl. She was helping David Becker to a chair. Becker was apparently in pain. "He does not yet know pain," the passenger thought. The girl pulled a small object from her pocket and held it out. Becker held it up and studied it in the light. Then he slipped it on his finger. He pulled the stack of bills from his pocket and paid the girl. They talked a few minutes longer, and then the girl hugged him. She waved, shouldered her duffel, and headed off across the concourse. "At last," the man in the taxi thought. "At last." Chapter 77. Strathmore stepped out of his office onto the landing with his gun leveled. Susan trailed close behind, wondering if Hale was still in Node 3. The light from Strathmore's monitor behind them threw eerie shadows of their bodies out across the grated platform. Susan inched closer to the commander. As they moved away from the door, the light faded, and they were plunged into darkness. The only light on the crypto floor came from the stars above, and the faint haze from behind the shattered Node 3 window. Strathmore inched forward, looking for the place where the narrow staircase began. Switching the Beretta to his left hand, he groped for the banister with his right. He figured he was probably just as bad a shot with his left, and he needed his right for support. Falling down this particular set of stairs could cripple someone for life, and Strathmore's dreams for his retirement did not involve a wheelchair. Susan, blinded by the blackness of the crypto dome, descended with a hand on Strathmore's shoulder. Even at the distance of 2 feet, she could not see the commander's outline. As she stepped onto each metal tread, she shuffled her toes forward, looking for the edge. Susan began having second thoughts about risking a visit to Node 3 to get Hale's passkey. The commander insisted Hale wouldn't have the guts to touch them, but Susan wasn't so sure. Hale was desperate. He had 2 options, escape crypto or go to jail. A voice kept telling Susan they should wait for David's call and use his passkey. But she knew there was no guarantee he would even find it. She wondered what was taking David so long. Susan swallowed her apprehension and kept going. Strathmore descended silently. There was no need to alert Hale they were coming. As they neared the bottom, Strathmore slowed, feeling for the final step. When he found it, the heel of his loafer clicked on hard black tile. Susan felt his shoulder tense. They'd entered the danger zone. Hale could be anywhere. In the distance, now hidden behind translator, was their destination. Node 3. Susan prayed Hale was still there, lying on the floor, whimpering in pain like the dog he was. Strathmore let go the railing and switched the gun back to his right hand. Without a word, he moved out into the darkness. Susan held tight to his shoulder. If she lost him, the only way she'd find him again was to speak. Hale might hear them. As they moved away from the safety of the stairs, Susan recalled late-night games of tag as a kid. She'd left home base. She was in the open. She was vulnerable. Translator was the only island in the vast black sea. Every few steps, Strathmore stopped, gun poised, and listened. The only sound was the faint hum from below. Susan wanted to pull him back to safety, back to home base. There seemed to be faces in the dark all around her. Halfway to Translator, the silence of Crypto was broken. Somewhere in the darkness, seemingly right on top of them, a high-pitched beeping pierced the night. Strathmore spun, and Susan lost him. Fearful, Susan shot her arm out, groping for him. But the commander was gone. The space where his shoulder had been was now just empty air. She staggered forward into the emptiness. The beeping noise continued. It was nearby. Susan wheeled in the darkness. There was a rustle of clothing, and suddenly the beeping stopped. Susan froze. An instant later, as if from one of her worst childhood nightmares, a vision appeared. A face materialized directly in front of her. It was ghostly and green. It was the face of a demon, sharp shadows jutting upward across deformed features. She jumped back. She turned to run, but it grabbed her arm. "Don't move," it commanded. For an instant, she thought she saw Hale in those two burning eyes. But the voice was not Hale's, and the touch was too soft. It was Strathmore. He was lit from beneath by a glowing object that he just pulled from his pocket. Her body sagged with relief. She felt herself start breathing again. The object in Strathmore's hand had some sort of electronic LED that was giving off a greenish glow. "Damn," Strathmore cursed under his breath. "My new pager." He stared in disgust at the sky pager in his palm. He'd forgotten to engage the silent ring feature. Ironically, he'd gone to a local electronics store to buy the device. He'd pay cash to keep it anonymous. Nobody knew better than Strathmore how closely the NSA watched their own. And the digital messages sent and received from this pager were something Strathmore definitely needed to keep private. Susan looked around uneasily. If Hale hadn't known they were coming, he knew now. Strathmore pressed a few buttons and read the incoming message. He groaned quietly. It was more bad news from Spain. Not from David Becker, but from the other party Strathmore had sent to Seville. 3,000 miles away, a mobile surveillance van sped along the darkened Seville streets. It had been commissioned by the NSA under Umbra secrecy from a military base in Rota. The two men inside were tense. It was not the first time they'd received emergency orders from Fort Meade, but the orders didn't usually come from so high up. The agent at the wheel called over his shoulder. "Any sign of our man?" The eyes of his partner never left the feed from the wide-angle video monitor on the roof. "No, keep driving." Chapter 78. Under the twisting mass of cables, Jabba was sweating. He was still on his back with a pen-like clenched in his teeth. He'd gotten used to working late on weekends. The less hectic NSA hours were often the only times he could perform hardware maintenance. As he maneuvered the red-hot soldering iron through the maze of wires above him, he moved with exceptional care. Singeing any of the dangling sheaths would be disaster. Just another few inches, he thought. The job was taking far longer than he'd imagined. Just as he brought the tip of the iron against the final thread of raw solder, his cellular phone rang sharply. Jabba was startled, his arm twitched, and a large glob of sizzling, liquefied lead fell on his arm. "Shit!" He He dropped the iron and practically swallowed his penlight. Shit, shit, shit! He scrubbed furiously at the drop of cooling solder. It rolled off, leaving an impressive welt. The chip he was trying to solder in place fell out and hit him in the head. God damn it! Jabba's phone summoned him again. He ignored it. Midge, he cursed under his breath. Damn you, crypto's fine. The phone rang on. Jabba went back to work, reseating the new chip. A minute later, the chip was in place, but his phone was still ringing. For Christ's sakes, Midge, give it up. The phone rang another 15 seconds and finally stopped. Jabba breathed a sigh of relief. 60 seconds later, the intercom overhead crackled. Would the Chief Sysek please contact the main switchboard for a message? Jabba rolled his eyes in disbelief. She just doesn't give up, does she? He ignored the page. Chapter 79 Strathmore replaced his sky pager in his pocket and peered through the darkness toward Node 3. He reached for Susan's hand. Come on. But their fingers never touched. There was a long, guttural cry from out of the darkness. A thundering figure loomed. A Mack truck bearing down with no headlights. An instant later, there was a collision, and Strathmore was skidding across the floor. It was Hale. The pager had given them away. Susan heard the Beretta fall. For a moment, she was planted in place, unsure where to run, what to do. Her instincts told her to escape, but she didn't have the elevator code. Her heart told her to help Strathmore, but how? As she spun in desperation, she expected to hear the sounds of a life-and-death struggle on the floor, but there was nothing. Everything was suddenly silent, as if Hale had hit the commander and then disappeared back into the night. Susan waited, straining her eyes into the darkness, hoping Strathmore wasn't hurt. After what seemed like an eternity, she whispered, "Commander?" Even as she said it, she realized her mistake. An instant later, Hale's odor welled up behind her. She turned too late. Without warning, she was twisting, gasping for air. She found herself crushed in a familiar headlock, her face against Hale's chest. "My balls are killing me," Hale panted in her ear. Susan's knees buckled. The stars in the dome began to spin above her. Chapter 80 Hale clamped down on Susan's neck and yelled into the darkness. "Commander, I've got your sweetheart. I want out." His demands were met with silence. Hale's grip tightened. "I'll break her neck." A gun cocked directly behind them. Strathmore's voice was calm and even. "Let her go." Susan winced in pain. "Commander!" Hale spun Susan's body toward the sound. "You shoot, and you'll hit your precious Susan. You ready to take that chance?" Strathmore's voice moved closer. "Let her go. No way. You'll kill me." "I'm not going to kill anyone." "Oh, yeah? Tell that to Chartruckian." Strathmore moved closer. "Chartruckian's dead." "No shit, you killed him. I saw it." "Give it up, Greg," Strathmore said calmly. Hale clutched at Susan and whispered in her ear, "Strathmore pushed Chartruckian. I swear it." "She's not going to fall for your divide and conquer technique," Strathmore said, moving closer. "Let her go." Hale hissed into the darkness. "Chartruckian was just a kid, for Christ's sake. Why'd you do it? To protect your little secret?" Strathmore stayed cool. "And what little secret is that?" "You know damn fucking well what secret that is. Digital fortress." "My, my," Strathmore muttered condescendingly, his voice like an iceberg. "So you do know about digital fortress. I was starting to think you denied that, too. Fuck you. Oh, witty defense." "You're a fool," Hale spat. "For your information, translator is overheating." "Really?" Strathmore chuckled.